Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
In 2 Samuel, David becomes secure and well-established as the one king over all the tribes of Israel. As king, he's prosperous, respected, loved, and secure from his enemies, even admired by the surrounding nations. In this situation, David's true heart is clearly manifest. What he desires to do is to do something for God, even to build God a dwelling place in Israel. But having such a one on this earth whose heart was fully one with his own, Jehovah responds to David's expression of wanting to do something for him in a most surprising way. Listen to this passage from 2 Samuel chapter 7. Thus says Jehovah, "Is it you who will build me a house for me to dwell in? For I have not dwelt in a house since the day I brought the children of Israel up out of Egypt to this day. But I went about in a tent and in a tabernacle. In all my going about among the children of Israel, did I ever speak a word to any of the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Thus says Jehovah of hosts, 'I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, that you might be ruler over my people, over Israel. And I have been with you in every place that you have gone, and have cut off all your enemies before you. And I will make a great name for you, like the name of the great ones who are on the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them there, that they may dwell in their own place and be disturbed no more. And the sons of wickedness will ill-treat them no more as before. I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, Jehovah declares to you that Jehovah will make you a house. When your days are fulfilled and you sleep with your fathers, I will raise up your seed after you, which will come forth from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. It is he who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son. My loving kindness will not depart from him, as I took it away from Saul, whom I put away before you. And your house and your kingdom will be made sure forever before you. Your throne will be established forever." Francis Ball has joined us as we fellowship. I would say the beginning program, Francis, on a series that will take us to maybe the high peak, certainly of the life study of Samuel, but one of the high peaks in the entire ministry of Witness Lee, which was really a continuation of the ministry of Watchman Nee. Quite something before us in these coming programs, isn't it?
It really is something. And just in that introduction made me realize that we have been too short-sighted in what God's real purpose is. God doesn't want us to be doing something for him.
Right.
He wants to do something for and in us. And I think this is a real opener for our next series of messages.
Yeah, that's really a key point in our program today, that having come through so much and having been so much the recipient of God's mercies and grace and keeping power and even miracles, David now secure in his own kingship, sitting comfortably on the throne. The enemies are defeated. He's being sent tribute by the kingdoms from around Israel. His house has been built up. He has a palace that probably exceeded anything he could have imagined. And in this kind of condition, many godly people have been, I believe, maybe overtaken by their own sense of success or glory to a degree and get turned very much toward their own interests. But David's real heart comes out here, doesn't it?
It really does, and I think this is what needs to get into our heart, to realize that what we're doing is not something that will really count with God, but what he's doing is really accounting for us.
At the beginning of this chapter, chapter 7, David makes an expression to Nathan, his prophet, regarding the fact that God and his ark, The Ark of the Covenant did not have a permanent dwelling place, and here he is dwelling in this magnificent palace. And he expresses a desire to build something for God, and we just read, of course, the Lord's response to him. It's not that he was looking for David now to do something for him, but Jehovah uses this opportunity to tell David what he needs done within him.
That's right.
And this building work that he presents in these chapters in a kind of a prophetical way will become, I think, more and more clear in the coming days. Why don't we join Witness Lee with the first segment of this very critical and crucial program.
Since God brought Israel out of Egypt, he went about in a tent and in a tabernacle. But God's heart is to get a place for his people to have a settlement, even a place that could be used for Israel to be planted there. Not just to settle there, but to get themselves planted there. This was God's heart. This was quite an answer to David. David, you are planning to have a place for me. Actually, the people of Israel need a place. I am now planning to get a place that I could plant all my people into that place. David, thank you for your good heart from me. You have to know my heart is for you. I can rest everywhere, but you don't have the rest. Today, Philistines coming. Tomorrow, Amalekites coming. And day after tomorrow, Moabites coming. All the enemies around you. I'd like to get a rest place for you. David, would you build a habitation for me? No, rather I would build a house for you. Quite often, we do have this kind of feeling. When we love the Lord, we have to think, okay, I do something for the Lord. Right away, deep within us, there is a sense. Actually, we need the Lord to do more for us. You like to build a house for God? You need a house. What is this house? Who is this house? This house is Christ. David, you got everything, but you are short of Christ. You are short of my son, God said to him. God would raise up David's seed. David, you would build a house for me. I would not only build a house for you, I would raise up a seed. I tell you, whenever you would think to do something for God, right away within you, God tells you, you are short of Christ. You are going to build a house for God? You are short of God's sin. I, God, will make my sin your seed. What's your seed? That is your heritage. Christ becomes your heritage. And that is your treasure. You need Jesus. Today, many sinners, they had a good heart. When they turned to God to do something for God, God always would say, you need me to do something much more for you.
Francis, this is a very common, easy to understand reaction. I recall when I first got saved, I had come from such a desperate situation and I felt like there was no hope, and the Lord rescued me in a dynamic way. And very shortly thereafter, I had this kind of thought. I need to do something for you now, Lord. What can I do for you? Now it's been some 30 plus years since, and I'm still learning the lesson. It's not what I can do for him that counts. It's what he is desiring to do in me that counts.
I think you've given the testimony that most of us have to give if we're honest.
Yeah.
I also had that kind of experience when I met the Lord in a desperate and definite way.
Mm-hmm.
I had the feeling, now what can I do for God? I wanted to give myself over to do something for him.
Of course, it's that kind of heart, I think, that the Lord responds to in David and takes him much further than he could have taken him if he had had a self-centered or callous heart. So the Lord honored his heart, but the revelation that follows this is quite striking, quite something. Let's talk a little bit about the kind of house that he wants to build for us, that he wants to build even in us.
Yes, this is what God wants, I think we can all remember that the Lord God said of Christ on two occasions at least, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I find all my delight."
Right.
Or, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." And it's not what we can say and what we can do, but it's Christ that he wants. And so he wants to build Christ into us so we could become his house. In other words, Christ wants to make his home in our hearts. That's God's intention, to make Christ a home in us.
Now, if you read this portion, it gets a little tricky because on the one hand, he's talking to David about David. Then he mentions David's seed, which would be directly Solomon. And in a sense, there's a literal aspect. It's a very much a prophetical passage here, a prophetical response. It would be Solomon, David's son, that would build the temple. But the real seed that he's talking about is not Solomon, is it?
No, it's not. And actually, it says in those portion of scriptures that it's some generations later this seed comes forth.
Yeah. And of course, that seed is Christ. And the whole revelation here is the Lord is pointing out to David that you are short of something. You're in no position at this moment to build me anything of value because you have a need. You have a shortage, and that's what I want to take care of.
You can't do anything, but I can do something, well, God said to him.
Let's talk a little bit about the seed. We'll come to it in this next portion. Witness Lee refers to a passage from the New Testament, at least in the printed message. I can't recall if he does in the spoken one. We'll find out here in just a moment. But in Romans chapter 1, right at the beginning of Romans, Paul comes back to the matter of the seed, and he says, "Which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, who came out of the seed of David according to the flesh, who was designated the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness out of the resurrection of the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord."
Amen.
Very clear that Jesus is the real seed of David.
Yes, right.
All right, let's go back to Witness Lee.
God here, in his response to David, he stopped David. David eventually never got a chance to build the temple for God. God told him, "You need me more. Before I do something for you, you could never have the capacity to do anything for me. And the thing I'm going to do for you is to constitute my Son into your being, that's Christ. And this Christ is the very treasure, and also he is the habitation. Before something of Christ, the Son of God, route into our being, we all were homeless. And homeless simply means Christless. You don't have Christ. You don't have Christ, you don't have a home. You don't have Christ, you don't have satisfaction. You don't have Christ, you don't have righteousness. You don't have Christ, you don't have justification by God. In every aspect, you are short. If God, the Son, could never become a part of your constitution, you are nothing." 2 Samuel 7. This is the very, very intrinsic way to preach the gospel. Dear friends, you need Jesus. Don't think you can do something for God. You need God to do something for you. For your whole human life, you are empty. You are short of something. And this something is just Christ, as God himself, as the Son of God, to become a part of you. This is the gospel. The gospel is that God is going to work himself into me. I say, part of me. How could God do this? Well, he did it in incarnation. As God, he became man. As man, he died for me. And then he rose up and he became life-giving spirit. And this life-giving spirit is my Savior. And he is my life. And he is my seed, a part of me. I got built. Firstly, I thought I could build something for God. And eventually, God told me, "Don't do anything for me. Let me do everything for you. Just build the Son of God into your being. To make you a part of me, just like I've made myself a part of you." Think about it.
There's a lot to think about here, Francis.
Oh, wow.
Again, thinking back to our pre-salvation days, what it felt like to be really homeless, whether or not we had a physical roof over our head, we all had that kind of sensation. There was a restlessness and a sense of being unprotected. I don't know about you, but all those things sort of were rattling around in me. And a real gospel from 2 Samuel 7 is that he is presenting himself as our home, isn't he?
That's it. He is our home. Christ wants to make his home in us. So we become his home, and he is our home. This is too marvelous, and I feel like this is the missing link in much of today's gospel preaching.
Right.
They miss the indwelling of Christ as being at home in our heart and building us up as God's building. God himself is building himself into us to be his dwelling place. It's not that we're going to make a home for him. It's that he will make his home in us. I'm really, I would say, excited about this particular message because this brings us at the beginning of much revelation that we're going to see through the rest of this book about how marvelous this gospel really is.
Francis, of course, we're talking about this passage in Ephesians chapter 3 about Christ making his home in our hearts. And this is beyond the initial invitation for the Lord to come into us and save us. And perhaps we prayed a prayer like, Lord, come into my heart. But not as a guest, not as a visitor, not as a one-time passerby. But really, what's opened up in Paul's writing in Ephesians, which dovetails so perfectly with this passage from the Old Testament book of 2 Samuel, is that he is not happy just to sort of pass through and leave the result of all of the work he accomplished on Calvary. He wants to make home. He's trying to build something in us, isn't he?
That's much more than we realize ordinarily. But when I got saved, I was happy that I got delivered from my sins and from my destiny. But that was not all, and it wasn't for years that I found out, mainly through this ministry, how this salvation is much more than just getting a forgiveness of sins and getting a pleasant place to go. But we realize that God's intention was to build something into us, and when David touched this matter of building a house, he really touched God's heart, but not for God's house. He was touching building something for God. But God's intention was to build himself into David and into all of us that he may be at home in our hearts. This is where God's dwelling place comes in, and it's continual working in us. Nothing, any kind of house is not built in a day. So it takes a time after we were saved, after we were regenerated, God began to work on us to build himself into us. And that's the reason he said to David, you're short of something.
Right.
You're trying to build for me, but I need to build something into you.
Hmm. Let's come back to this matter of the seed. In the final segment today, we'll see the seed of David, which we already saw from Romans, in a prophetic sense, is Christ. But it's very much related to the kingdom that the Lord will establish at his return, his second coming. Let's go back and read verse 16 again from chapter 7 of 2 Samuel. And your house and your kingdom, this is the Lord talking to David now, and this is in that distant, some generation sense that you mentioned earlier. Your house and your kingdom will be made sure forever before you. Your throne will be established forever.
Hmm.
It's Christ that will establish for an eternal sense the throne of David, isn't it?
Amen. This is his work.
Really. Much beyond what we can do for him. All right, let's go back to Witness Lee once more.
Sure, I have the assurance to say, this seed of David, referring to Christ, and then based upon this fact, God would go on to establish David's kingdom. And this refers to Christ's kingdom. God's responding word made Christ and David one. Not only so, and made Christ one with David's seed. And who is David's seed? David's seed is just Christ. You have to understand, the kingdom of David, that is Christ's kingdom. So eventually, in the Old Testament, in the minor prophets, you could see all the prophets make David and Christ one. The minor prophet told her, your King David will come. Actually, that refers to Christ's coming. God's conversation with David eventually turns to Christ. David, you think I'm short of something? I must let you know. You are short. You are short of Christ. So I will build Christ into your home, into your house, into your family, into yourself. You have to give God a chance to build Christ into you to be something as what He is in God. I have Christ as God has Christ. Today, Christ is God, Christ is also mine. What is God's salvation? God's salvation is there to make His embodiment in Christ ours. Who is in you? The Son of God. And who is the Son of God? The embodiment of God. Who is the embodiment of God? God Himself.
Francis, I like this a lot. Earlier in the program, you were quoting some phrases, some verses from the New Testament where Christ is revealed as God's delight, the desire of His heart. Really, Christ is the unique satisfaction to God the Father, isn't He?
Right, that's right.
And what we're hearing here is that this building work, the result of it is it makes Christ the same to us as it is to God the Father. He becomes our satisfaction, our desire, our everything as well.
Right. We have that joy of Christ being everything to us as He is to God. I just can't express what really is in me when we touch these kind of matters, that we're getting such a salvation that makes us actually one with God to such an extent. This is too good that we can be the real dwelling place of God by having Christ added to us, not what we build for Him, but what He builds in us. This is God's intent.
In the coming programs of balance of this week and most of next week, as we have that much time left in this life study of 2 Samuel, this matter will be developed quite much. Let's talk just for a minute, Francis, about the development here. We saw that the Lord told David it would be his seed that would build a house for God. Okay, in the literal fulfillment of that prophecy, that, of course, was Solomon building the temple. In the real fulfillment of that, it will be Christ building the eternal habitation. But before He can build that habitation, He first has to build Himself into us. And then we, with this Christ built into us, become the building material for the house that God ultimately desires. Am I anywhere close? I'm trying to kind of summarize this. Well, help me out here.
I feel this is really the case. He wants to embody Himself into us. The embodiment of God is Christ Himself, and actually is God Himself, because Christ is God. And now with Him building Himself into us, He makes us one with Him to such an extent that as David had a kingdom, so Christ's kingdom is really the reality of David's kingdom. That means the Lord Jesus Christ will set up His kingdom on the earth as a result of being the seed that was planted in these multitude of believers.
Wow.
And becomes everything to them, so that He actually is reigning as King in all of us as His believers.
This is a high peak of the divine revelation, isn't it?
It is.
Well, we have, as I mentioned, about a week and a half to go in our life study of Samuel. I hope you can be with us for each of these final programs. In case you miss any, we hope also that you'll contact us about receiving the printed Life Study volume for both 1 and 2 Samuel. It has about 37 or 38 messages in total and covers both of the books, but it concludes with this high portion, this high revelation, this high speaking concerning God's ultimate intention and the need that we all have to have Christ built into our being. If you'd like to find out about the printed life study, please call us. For Francis Ball, I am Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening today.